It's time for the Rink Rats. With your hosts, Ryan the Hockey Guy Wallace and Jesse Granger.
Rink Rats, Ryan the Hockey Guy, Jesse Granger. We've got a lot to cover today, so we're just going to jump right into it. The Vegas Golden Knights won last night. They beat the Philadelphia Flyers, and it was career win number 400 for Flower. Jesse Granger immediately tweeted all the praise from Marc-Andre Fleury. And it begs the question, and I already know the answer, at least from Jesse's perspective, is Marc-Andre Fleury a surefire Hall of Famer?
Absolutely. And if you don't think so, you're wrong.
First ballot?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
In spite of the fact that he only really won 1.5 Stanley Cups and was awful in the postseason for, I don't know, like 6 years straight.
He was not awful in the postseason.
He was really bad.
He wasn't a Hall of Famer in those 6 seasons.
But he was sub-900 save percentage.
You got to remember, the season before they won their Stanley Cup, he was spectacular.
He was
to
good.
Get them, and they lost to Detroit. Then the next year, they went back, played Detroit again, and beat them.
Right.
Like we just said, he's got 400 wins.
That's a lot.
It's the 13th most in NHL history.
Yeah, but my question to you is, there are no ties anymore. So does that not inflate the win total for Marc-Andre Fleury, at least guys that are playing in this era where it's a win or a loss, and it's just that. There's no ties anymore.
It does, but if you look at how many shootout wins he's getting,
mm-hmm.
how many shootout wins does Marc-Andre Fleury have in his career?
I don't know.
Probably like 10 or less.
10 or less?
I wouldn't think it's very many. They've only been, I mean, okay, maybe if we're going to like say a lot, it's like 20.
Okay.
He's 7 away from jumping into the top 10 all time in wins. He only needs 7 more wins, which he'll probably get this year.
Sure. Well, Chris Osgood has over 400 wins.
Is he a
Hall of Famer?
I think Fleury is better than Osgood, obviously.
I wouldn't argue that. I think that that's correct. I'm just posing the question, is it more than just wins?
It is.
Is it more than just Stanley Cups?
I think it's a combination of he's going to be top 10 in wins all time. He's going to have 3 Stanley Cups. You can argue, okay, he didn't play in the 2 finals, but he helped get that team there. And especially this last one, he was the reason that they were in the Stanley Cup. A huge reason.
I completely agree with that.
And they would have won the Stanley Cup if they played him, but they chose Murray.
Sure. I believe that too, yeah.
And so he's got 3 cups.
Mm-hmm.
Another Stanley Cup run that they lost in the finals that he was a major factor in.
Mm-hmm.
He's top 10 in wins. If you just look at his stats, he's been good. He's not going to get in the Hall of Fame alone on goals against average, on save percentage, because of his style of play. It's like Dominik Hasek is a good example.
Mm-hmm.
Not great save percentage because he's a freaking wild man.
Sure.
Diving all over the ice, sliding everywhere, throwing his gloves at people.
But in Dominik Hasek's prime, you could never confuse somebody else with being the absolute best player at his position during that time. Dominik Hasek was the best goalie. He won countless Vezina trophies because of it. Marc-Andre Fleury doesn't have that.
And that's where you kind of start to go into how, like, I think that's a difficult line to draw.
Sure.
For Hall of Fame. How many Hall of Famers should there be? If you're going to say, okay, there should only be one Hall of Fame goalie per era,
mm-hmm.
then Fleury's not in. Because he's never been the, like you said, the undisputed best goalie in the NHL.
Right. So, like, I guess what I'm trying to figure out is, you look at Carey Price, right? And he's unquestionably the best goalie at his position during his prime. You look at Henrik Lundqvist, and you could make the same argument about Henrik Lundqvist throughout his duration of his prime. But neither one of those guys have a Stanley Cup.
Yeah.
Are they Hall of Famers?
Carey Price is too young to know.
Okay.
Carey Price is only, I think he, what, just turned 30?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's very young. He's still got half of his career to go.
Still got an 8-year contract that kicks in next season, too.
It could go either way for him.
Right.
Lundqvist, I think, is a Hall of Famer.
In spite of the
standard. I think you can be a Hall of Famer. I think there are more than one way to be a Hall of Famer. I think you can be a Hall of Famer with stats and with just being a great goalie but not winning a lot. And then I think you can be a Hall of Famer like Fleury, where I think he is great, but maybe he wasn't the best goalie in the NHL during his time. But he was on a really good team that was a dynasty and won a bunch of cups.
What if he wins a Stanley Cup here in Vegas?
Oh, then it's
shut the door.
And that's another thing with Fleury. When we're arguing right now and we're using his credentials now, he's only 33.
Right.
He could very easily play another 4 years with the Golden Knights.
Yeah, I mean, I could see that too. Now, for me, I think that he's a Hall of Famer because the resume is extensive. It's a great resume. Guys would do anything to have the type of career that he's had up until this point. But you look at him this year, and it's a renaissance of sorts because he took what he did in the playoffs last year. He's carried it through to this year on a brand new team with arguably worse defense than Pittsburgh had last year, with arguably a worse supporting cast, and he's putting up the best numbers of his career. So, as you said, he could play another 4 years. If he plays another 4 years at this clip, he's probably going to have over 500 wins.
Yes.
And maybe 4 Stanley Cups, especially a Stanley Cup on an expansion team, potentially year one. I know we're getting ahead of ourselves, but all of those things...
Or even like 3 years down the road, say he wins a cup with
exactly,
Vegas.
Exactly. But the point is, do I think he's a Hall of Famer? Yes. Am I giving you a hard time because I know you're a goalie? Absolutely. Am I trying to find something that says that makes you think about it a little bit differently? Yes. But we already know what that is. It's his numbers. It's his career numbers. They're not great. He hasn't been the shutdown number one overall. This is the best goalie that's played over the last 13 years. He's never going to be that. But he does have 3 Stanley Cups. Potentially could have had, if he wins one in Vegas, he could have had 5 in his career. I mean, that's a lot.
Another thing that makes me extremely confident he's getting in, and this isn't, I'm not saying this is right, but how do people get into the Hall of Fame?
They get voted.
They're voted in.
And he's likable.
And these people that vote in are humans.
Sure.
That, whether they try to be emotionless, or some of them admittedly are, use their emotion in it. You see it in baseball. Guys that have stats, Barry Bonds, Mark McGwire, and even guys that maybe don't have as many steroids questions around, but just were assholes, can't get in the Hall of Fame. And it works the other way also. Marc-Andre Fleury, if it's even close, he's going to get the nod because everybody loves the guy, and with good reason. He's an awesome guy.
Sure.
I think if it's even close, he's getting in. And by the time his career is over, I don't even think it'll be a question.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think once he hangs him up, it's going to be pretty clear. I don't know if he's first ballot, but I don't know that that really matters.
I completely agree. I think that's overrated.
Yeah. Yeah, but I think he's going for sure. Now, one other guy that I want to talk to or talk about as a future Hall of Famer is Alex Ovechkin. For those of you that don't know, Alex Ovechkin scored his 600th goal the other night.
It's a lot.
Fourth fastest to do so. Faster than Brett Hull.
And he's doing it in an era where there's less scoring than ever.
Did you see the names on the list ahead of him?
Yeah.
It's Wayne Gretzky in 718, Mario Lemieux in 719. How crazy is that?
Yeah.
I mean, the two best players ever, and they were that close. That one game separated Gretzky from Lemieux.
Yep. But,
yeah, you're right. In an era that scoring is down, in an era where goaltenders have never been better, never been bigger, never been faster, never been stronger.
I mean, that's the huge difference.
I agree completely.
It's not only that they're bigger, stronger athletes, but just the way you play goalie has changed so much. You go back and look at highlights of not even that long ago, Dominic Hasek.
Sure.
Like Patrick Waugh was really the first butterfly goalie. And before him, you watch some of these goals, like when they show Lemieux highlights and Gretzky highlights, and you just watch the motions that the goalies were making to try to make saves was so different.
It's like, why didn't everybody score 50 in like 150?
Well, and that's the thing. And a lot of people don't like Ovechkin, and a lot of people hate on him because of his postseason failures. So last night when he hit the 600, my Twitter timeline, I don't know about everybody else's, but it was filled with people trying to discredit him and saying, oh, and I feel like because in basketball and in football and in other sports, scoring is at an all-time high nowadays. Mm-hmm. They oh, of course, Drew Brees throws for 5,000 yards a season. Everybody does now. And they kind of use that same argument for hockey. And it's like, have you not been paying attention? The scoring is at an all-time low. It's more impressive that he did. When Gretzky did it, I'm not saying Ovechkin's better than Gretzky. It's not close. But
sure.
When Gretzky was scoring at this pace, everyone, there was four goals. They were averaging four, five goals. Every team was averaging four or five goals a game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, I have been very adamant that in order to get into the Hall of Fame, you need to win a Stanley Cup. I've been very adamant about that because that's the pinnacle of this sport. It's really hard to make a claim that you are a Hall of Famer, that you were able to navigate and get to the pinnacle of this sport if you haven't done it. But
it's a team game.
I know it's a team game. I understand that. I completely understand that. My argument for Ovechkin getting into the Hall of Fame, because we all know he's not going to win a Stanley Cup.
He's going to win one.
No, he's not.
As like he's going to win one like Ray Bourque style.
Yeah, well,
like
okay.
He's going to be ring chasing. You got to think.
I can't see him leaving.
I think he's going to be a ring chaser. And I wouldn't blame him at all if he was.
Well, I mean he doesn't have the typical argument that a ring chaser has though. They've surrounded him with plenty of talent to get it done.
Yeah, no. But I'm just saying, like, guys at the end of their career that haven't gotten a ring, he'll take less money. Once he's made all of his money,
yeah,
he's scored all his goals. He's not quite the same guy. He's not that first line guy anymore. Go to Pittsburgh or whoever it is then at that time. Like whether say I don't know Toronto. Say Austin Matthews is a god by then. 5 years from now, and he's just destroying the NHL. He'll just go up there and join him and win a cup.
Okay, so my argument for Alex Ovechkin getting in is this. Score more goals than Wayne Gretzky.
No. He can't.
He can. He absolutely can.
He would have to.
He's putting up 40. He's got 42 right now. He's going to score 50 this year.
He'd have to do that like four more years.
You don't think he's going to play four more years?
Yeah, but he ain't scoring 50.
Listen, he can play. I would argue that Ovechkin's going to play until he's at least 40. He's 31 now, turning 32 next year. That's 8 more years.
I mean, if he breaks any Wayne Gretzky record, he should get in the Hall of Fame when he breaks it.
That's what I'm saying.
That night when he scores that goal, they should induct him into the Hall of Fame.
Like, with Ovechkin, I think he's a Hall of Famer.
I do too.
I think that it's going to be a very simple task to vote him in as a first ballot Hall of Famer. I think that's pretty much a slam dunk at this point. But without a Stanley Cup, if he scores 900 goals in his career, which I absolutely think he can do, I just simply do. It's not even a question. I mean, if you are a goal scorer, which is what Ovechkin is, you have to be the best goal scorer that ever lived to get into the Hall of Fame.
So only one goal scorer is allowed in the Hall of Fame? Only the best one?
Well, unless you've won a Stanley Cup.
Oh, okay.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
So if you don't have a Stanley Cup,
if you're a specialist,
you have to be the highest scorer ever.
Yes, no, not the highest scorer, the highest goal scorer.
Yeah.
If what you specialize in is scoring goals, and you haven't won anything, by everyone's standards, you haven't won anything, you need to be the absolute best that's ever scored goals.
Yeah, and that goes back to the argument of where do you draw the line for the Hall of Fame? Like, the whole with goalies, do you have to be the best in your era? You're saying you have to be the best, not just in your era, but of all time.
If you're that one-dimensional, yeah.
I guess,
what else does he bring to the table?
I think he's one of the best goal scorers in the history of hockey. What's the goal of hockey? To put the puck in the net.
Goals? No,
and Ovechkin is one of the best in the history of the game at doing it.
But does he make anyone else around him better?
I mean, if you talk to players that played with him, I bet they'd argue in his favor.
Because they have to?
Well, I think a lot of guys, being brutally honest, if you could talk to them and get their honest opinion, I think a lot of them would say that he makes them better. Maybe he's not setting them up for goals himself with passing, but just the attention he draws on the ice gives guys a little more space.
So you don't think he's going to break Gretzky's record?
No. I don't. It's that pace is would be insane.
I think he does it. I think he plays until he does it. Like, I wouldn't doubt the fact. He's going to be Jágr. He's going to be this generation's Jágr, which is funny because last generation's Jágr is still this generation's Jágr. But
Jágr has been this generation's Jágr for like four generations.
It's the worst. Oh my God. And people still think he should come here. Okay. So, like I said, man, I think Ovechkin's going to get in. I think Fleury's going to get in. I know that I'm being ridiculous. I know that I'm being super hard on Ovechkin, but that's just simply because he hasn't won anything, and he's had teams that should have won something in the playoffs. I understand it's a team game. I understand he can't put the pads on and make Braden Holtby, you know, good in the playoffs because that's where they've really struggled. But yeah, at some point, if you're a leader, which is what he is, if you wear the C for your team, which is what he does, he needs to find a way to elevate his game to a point where it makes everybody else better. If that means scoring less goals but preventing some goals on the defensive aspect or the defensive side of the puck, I say you do that. But that's an aspect of his game that's been completely missing. The guy doesn't back check. All he does is score goals. I get that that's the objective of hockey, but you know what the other objective of hockey is? To prevent the other team from scoring goals. And if you're that one-dimensional, my only argument is if that's the only thing that you do and you do it exceptionally well – and that's your calling card because you haven't won anything, then you got to do it better than the next guy that did it the best.
I just think Gretzky is such a outlier. He's so great and so much better than the next. Like,
well,
the
gap between Gretzky and Lemieux, are you serious?
Not close.
What are you talking about?
I think Wayne Gretzky is 10 times better than
Lemieux was healthy. And I get it. I understand that. If Lemieux was healthy, those two guys would be far closer than you give them credit for.
That's part of it, though, staying healthy.
No, I completely agree with you.
I mean, Wayne Gretzky, like, the dude was scoring 200 points a season.
Lemieux had a 199-point season.
Yeah, but Gretzky had over 200, like, what, like four times?
No, I get it. I'm just saying you're talking about this 200-point season as if it's something that's never been close for another player, much less Mario Lemieux. He was 1 point off.
Yeah, but Gretzky did it consistently.
He did it four times.
And Lemieux, the second greatest player of all time, almost did it once. That's how is so big. You talk about if you're the best goal scorer, you need to score the most goals. Gretzky was the best goal scorer to ever live.
Mm-hmm.
There were seasons when you could take all of his goals away.
Right.
Eliminate all of his goals.
I understand.
Just count his assists,
mm-hmm.
and he would still lead the NHL in points. NHL?
You could do that over his entire career.
Not lead the NHL in assists. I'm talking he had more assists than any player in the league, had points, had goals and assists combined, and he was a goal scorer. That's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard.
Yeah, I hear you. I do. I understand.
So
I know that he's an outlier. I know that
that's my point. I think it's unfair to hold anyone to Gretzky. Because his records, he holds every record that can ever be held. It's just not fair.
I don't have to be fair. That's the beauty of this podcast.
That's true.
I don't have to be fair.
That's true. I do see your point, and I do understand where you're coming from. If you want to hold him to, like, he needs to be top three all time in goals, I think it's fair. Gretzky is just not human. He's like that. Those records are so far out there.
I don't know, man. That's the thing. Like, I get that I'm being unfair, but I think that he could do it.
I don't.
I do. I really do. And you know, and it's really funny. I've my stance on Ovechkin has changed dramatically over the last couple of years, just because he's having a lot of fun, just because I see more in his game now than I saw when he was younger. And to be honest with you, I'm rooting for him. I'm rooting for him to be the best goal scorer that ever played the game. I really am. I really am, because at that point, he's got that to fall back on. You know, you didn't win a Stanley Cup. Everyone's always going to talk to him about how he didn't get it done in the playoffs. But if you can shut them up with saying, I scored 900 goals, no one ever did that. No one ever did that.
I think he's got a better chance at winning a cup than he does at
I don't agree. I don't know.
Watch the Capitals make a run and win it all this
year. You know, it's funny. Last year,
there's no pressure on him for
once. No joke. Last year, I signed up for the NHL Bracket Challenge for the playoffs. And I was like, you know what, man? I keep talking about the Capitals and how you should never pick them for anything. But Chris Letang had just gone for neck surgery. And yeah. I'm like, there's no way the Penguins can beat the Capitals without Chris Letang. Boy, was I wrong.
Yeah. That's just well, you joke. Were not as wrong as me. I had the Blackhawks winning it all. They didn't win a game.
I was fortunate enough to be able to see the Nashville upset there. But okay, so let's shift gears and talk about something else that pisses everybody off, the MVP race. I'm going to give you my top three right now in no particular order. I'm just going to throw three names out there that I think everybody has pretty much agreed on as kind of the three guys that we're following very closely. Taylor Hall, Nathan MacKinnon, Nikita Kucherov. Which of those three guys doesn't belong?
If you made me pick, I'd say Hall.
Really?
I think MacKinnon should win MVP. Because when he went out of their lineup, mm-hmm. they completely fell apart.
Sure.
He came back, and they are instantly back in a playoff spot.
Right. Do they have to make the playoffs for yes. Nathan MacKinnon to be the MVP?
Yes.
Why?
Because I think most valuable player is, I mean, obviously what it stands for, but you can't be the most valuable player of the Vancouver Canucks. You can't be the most valuable player of a last-place team or of a team that's bad. I think even if, obviously, Colorado's not going to be up there with Tampa mm-hmm. or even New Jersey, but Nathan MacKinnon is carrying the Avs more than Hall or Kucherov are carrying their teams. But like I said, I can't give him the MVP if he can't even make the playoffs.
Now, what if he misses by a point?
Nope, he needs to make the playoffs.
Really?
But if he makes the playoffs by a point,
yep.
and he carried that, he is single-handedly carrying that team.
No,
he went out of the lineup, and they cannot win without him. And then he comes back, and you think, well, he just came off an injury, and they've been playing terrible lately. It's probably going to take him a little while. Nope, they just immediately go back to winning. Like it's literally that simple. Is Nathan MacKinnon on the ice? No, they're going to lose. Yes, they're going to win. That's how simple. That's how good he is.
Okay, so when I asked you which one guy doesn't belong, I thought you were going to say Kucherov. Because the supporting cast for Kucherov is so much better than Hall and MacKinnon.
I agree, but his numbers are just unbelievable.
They're not. Not now. He's no, cooled off so much.
He's going to win the points title, right?
No, he's not. Malkin's 1 point behind him. Kucherov has 88. Malkin's got 87. McDavid's got 84.
I think Kucherov wins it.
I don't think he does.
We'll see. I think Tampa is one of those teams that has gotten bored. And I think it happened. No. And I think
they're still winning games.
And I think it happened to the Golden Knights a little bit too.
I agree.
I think when you're that good that early, it's such a long season that you eventually it's like, man, we're 12 games up in the division. Like, can the playoffs just get here already? Like, sure. Why are we playing all these games? And yeah, they're still winning, but Kucherov and Stamkos are not. They don't have their foot on the gas pedal like they did early in the year, I don't think.
No, I agree. I still don't. Like, this is such a difficult thing to vote on.
It is. It is, and because there are so many different definitions for it.
Do you have a vote this year?
Yes, I do.
You do?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Do you have, or have you narrowed it down to maybe three or five?
I think those three are a good.
Yeah.
It's at midseason, we had five. And at this point, I don't even remember who I had. I had all three. No, I didn't have Hall on it, actually.
Right.
At midseason. Man, I can't even. I think I had Stamkos and Kucherov on there at midseason. I'm trying to remember. It's been so long.
Right.
But yes, we did the Pro Hockey Writers Association did a midseason vote
mm-hmm.
on all the awards.
Sure.
And
where did you place Fleury for the Vezina?
I think I had him fourth or fifth.
How many games did he play?
No. I didn't have Fleury on there. No. I didn't have Fleury on there.
Okay. No, it's good. No,
the only Golden Knights I had on my votes. So the votes were not made public, but we actually voted like last week to make the votes public from now on.
Which way did you vote?
To make them public.
Yeah.
I don't see any reason why you wouldn't want people to know who you voted for.
So when William Karlsson realizes you didn't vote for him for the MVP, he doesn't get mad at you?
Then I think you should believe in your votes enough to be able to explain, if William Karlsson comes to me and says, why didn't you vote for me? If I can't give him a good enough reason, then I shouldn't be voting.
Yeah, I don't think that he will, but we're going to get into that in a minute.
No, but I think the only Golden Knights I voted for were George McPhee for GM of the Year.
Sure.
Gerard Gallant for Jack Adams.
Right.
And then I had Subban like fifth for Rookie of the Year, and that was obviously back when Subban was on fire. Now he's obviously out of that conversation because he's been hurt. But back when Subban was winning all those games, I had him fifth for Rookie of the Year. But I think other than that, I didn't have any Golden Knights on my...
Sure. So,
and that was in the beginning of Carlson's tear that he went on, so obviously.
Right. So here's the question that I pose. I like Taylor Hall. I like Nathan MacKinnon. I think those two guys would be very deserving MVP candidates if they continue their run of play and if both of their teams get into the playoffs.
They have to make the playoffs.
I agree with you there. All that being said, you look at the Golden Knights, the first place team in their division, one of the best stories of the year. Do any of the players on that team warrant any conversation for the Hart Trophy?
No. And that's the beauty of this team. I think that's the strength of this team, that none of them deserve MVP. Not a single player on this team deserves MVP. If you're going to give it to someone, if you forced me to pick an MVP of the Golden Knights, I think it's Fleury. I think Fleury's the best player on the ice every night.
Really?
And if you're not going to let me pick a goalie, because obvious reasons, I'll take Jonathan Marchessault. Not William Karlsson.
See, I was going to go Riley Smith.
And we have seen.
And there's
a strong argument for it.
And that's the last four games, three games, whatever it is, anytime he's out of the lineup, Riley Smith, I think, is the cog in this machine that makes everything go.
And Gallant would agree with you.
So Riley Smith having the year that he's having with this team where they are, not even in top five, top 10 voting?
No.
For you?
Because it's tough for me to put Riley Smith in the same conversation with MacKinnon and Kucherov the way they're playing right now. Riley Smith is playing great, but that second line is also playing great. And Marc-Andre Fleury is playing great.
And running four lines when healthy is a big part of this team, too.
Yeah, so. Like I said, I don't think that a Golden Knight will make my top five for MVP. There's still 14 games left in the season, but right now I don't think one will. But I don't think that's a bad thing. And like Golden Knights fans are going to be like, "What?" No, it's a good thing. It's a good thing that there's no MVP.
No, I like what you said, and I think that's what you go into the locker room with. The fact that you guys that we've seen it all year. Somebody comes out, somebody jumps in. Is there an adjustment period? Yes. Are they the same team that they are when they're absolutely healthy? No. But they're finding ways to win, and they're finding contributions up and down the lineup from all the guys. And like you said, that kind of takes away someone else's chances of being that clear-cut, most valuable player on this team. And that's a hard thing, because you look at the year that they're having, you look at the career years that guys are having, and you say, man, if they were doing this on another team, Maybe they're in the conversation.
Well, Riley Smith got hurt. The Golden Knights had to adjust. Mm-hmm. They appear to have adjusted. They played really well on this road trip.
Yeah.
When Nathan MacKinnon got hurt, there was nothing the Colorado Avalanche could do. They crumbled and went on, like, they lost like 8 of 9 or whatever it was. Like, they just can't win without him on the ice. Mm-hmm. And there's no player on the Golden Knights. It's been proven. Almost every one of them have missed time this year. And
even Marc-Andre Fleury.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. When he was out, and then even his backup went out, and the team still kept winning. That's the beauty of this team, that they're so balanced. And I just, like I said, I don't think it's a bad thing that there's no MVP. You look at those other MVPs, and maybe that's a reason why Kucherov shouldn't win MVP, because if he were to go down, Tampa Bay would still be winning games.
Yeah, I mean, last year, I could see the argument for Kucherov significantly more than this year, because last year Stamkos missed pretty much the entire season. Yeah. Kucherov almost single-handedly got them into the playoffs.
But they didn't make the playoffs.
I
that would be MacKinnon this year if they missed the playoffs. Sure. And I wouldn't vote for him if they missed the playoffs.
Now, I'm going to throw out Connor McDavid.
That team is awful.
At any point in time this year, do you think Connor McDavid should even be in the conversation for MVP?
In the conversation, yeah. I could see you voting. Say he wins the points title again.
Mm-hmm.
He'll be in my top five probably, but I'm not giving him the Hart Trophy on a team that finished fourth to last in the NHL. Not happening.
That's unfortunate for Connor because that's going to be his future for a long time. I think.
I don't think so. They'll figure it out. You got the best player in the world. Just build something around him.
How can they? They've given up way too much money to subpar pieces.
They'll figure it out. I don't know. Maybe not in the next couple of years, but I don't know. That's tough. But
hey, Ari, somebody's outside trying to get your attention.
This way.
The other way. Door. Yep. There you go. Other door. There you go. You just got called out of here, like, come here, boy.
I guarantee it's not important.
Oh, no, I guarantee it's important. Maybe.
It looks important.
I don't know. He looks like he's going to punch you in the face. It's good. Anyway.
So, back to the Hart Trophy talk. No, and you're right. It is unfortunate for McDavid because he's probably the best player in the league, again.
But that's not what the MVP is.
I know. That's what makes MVP in every sport mm-hmm. such a difficult thing.
Sure.
Because is it the best player on the best team? Because that's usually who wins it.
Right.
In any sport. If your team sucks but you have the best player in the league, that player's not going to win it. And that's what Connor McDavid is right now.
Mm-hmm. No, I get it.
It usually goes to the best player on the best team, which is why Kucherov is in the conversation. He's not the most valuable player to his team because if he were to get hurt, the team would be fine. They wouldn't be as good, but they'd be fine. That's why McKinnon right now for me, because when he goes out, that team's done.
Sure.
They're toast.
Sure. So let's shift gears and talk about the playoffs because it just makes sense to do that right now. If the playoffs were to start today, this is what the matchups would look like in the East. Tell me if anything really stands out to you that you would like to see, or maybe some different combination. So we got Tampa, New Jersey, Boston, Toronto, Washington, Columbus, Pittsburgh, and Philadelphia.
Well, Pittsburgh, Philly is going to be a bloodbath.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm really rooting for that just because Claude Giroux is having such a great season. And the last time that he was really a force out there, he basically punked out Sidney Crosby, yeah. And it was phenomenal to watch.
That would be fun, just because of the rivalry, the in-state rivalry. I don't have a problem with any of those series. New Jersey-Tampa would be a fun series to watch.
It's
I think the ratings would be horrendous.
Right.
No one would care about that. None of the... Because hockey is such a niche sport during the regular season,
right?
Like, admittedly, hockey doesn't compete with basketball or football during the regular season. But when the playoffs get here, the casual fans that don't watch hockey all year, all of a sudden they're all in. Everybody loves Stanley Cup playoffs.
Sure,
that's a series that people that aren't hardcore hockey fans that haven't been watching all year, they're going to see. New Jersey, Tampa, yeah, I'm out on that.
Well, they're going to look at New Jersey and be like, oh, man, that team again with their left-wing lock and the...
Martin Brodeur.
Yeah, of course. How old is he now? 57? Yeah. What's going on?
No, but for real hockey fans that have been watching all year, that is some fun hockey. Give me that series all day.
That would be the series I think I want to see the most. If I'm being honest, I think Tampa, New Jersey would just be back and forth. Neither one of those teams really care a whole heck of a lot about defense. I mean, Tampa does a little bit more than New Jersey does, but New Jersey's playing with house money at that point. I think they would go for broke. You would have odd man chances. It would be a fantastic series to watch.
Yeah, the totals on those games are going to be 6.5 every game. In the playoffs, when the scoring is down, we're talking ridiculous. And you talked about it, the other series that we haven't mentioned. You talked about it before we got on air.
Yep.
The only one that's really locked in right now that's almost a certainty to happen is Boston-Toronto, which is two old-school franchises that have been around forever with rabid fan bases that can just go at it.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but I want to say the last time Boston and Toronto played in the playoffs, it was a couple of years ago, where Toronto was up with about 8.5 minutes left in the third period of Game 7 by 3 goals.
Yes.
And Boston came storming back to force overtime, and they win it in overtime. And I just think the bad blood in that matchup would be phenomenal.
And, I mean, Toronto's rosters had a lot of turnover.
Sure, sure.
And a lot of these guys, their playoff experience is very limited.
Right.
But, Toronto and Boston are two of the hottest teams in the NHL right now also.
And Toronto's doing it without Auston Matthews.
Yeah, he's been banged up.
You get him back, and, you know, obviously Boston's had their fair share of injuries and stupid suspensions and Brad Marchand being Brad Marchand and all of that. But I would love to see Nazem Kadri, Brad Marchand, head-to-head. Let's see who can be more dirty, annoying, obnoxious. Which one's the bigger rat? I would love to see that.
Which is the bigger
rat? I would love to see it.
No, all three of those series are good. And the fourth one isn't bad either. The battle between the two teams that wear American flags for uniforms. Right? Don't the Washington Capitals and Columbus Blue Jackets basically have the exact same uniform?
They really do. That's hilarious.
Like, their colors are the exact same. Red, white, and blue. They got...
It would be like a pickup game.
Yeah.
It's like an inter-squad game.
You just turn your jersey inside out when you're on the other team. No, but that's a good matchup, too. Columbus, last year, had really high hopes going to the playoffs. Mm-hmm. They got a horrible draw, just having to play the two-time defending Stanley Cup champs. And got knocked out in the first round. But I think this team has the makeup for a run if they get the right matchups. Washington could be the right matchup.
I think it's all about gaining confidence in the first round. If they're able to do that against Washington, which is a team that allows teams to gain confidence in the first round. Look at what Toronto did. They pushed them, and they pushed them hard, and a couple overtime bounces go the other way. Toronto advances, and they're playing Pittsburgh. So, I agree. I can't state enough how much I want to see Boston Toronto, and I know that we're going to get it because I can't wait for Twitter. Like, Kadri's going to do something dirty, and Boston Twitter is going to just lose their mind.
Well, and it's two of the most rabid fan bases
in
the NHL.
Not understanding that they employ Brad Marchand, and then Brad Marchand's going to do something. Like, it's got the potential to be 7 games of just absolute mayhem and anarchy, and God, I can't wait to see it.
Yeah. I completely agree.
So let's go on over to the West, because while there's still a couple of teams in the East that are jockeying for position, mainly the New York Islanders.
Yep. Even the Florida Panthers have
kind of made a run. Even the Florida Panthers are making a run. Like, I don't know. If you put Florida in New Jersey's place, I think I'd be okay with that. Like, I wouldn't be so upset. I think it'd be a fun little rivalry.
I think Tampa can get started. Runs them.
But I agree. I think that New Jersey is a more competitive matchup for Tampa than Florida. But let's go to the West, where, like, really there's nothing at all set in stone, except for maybe the fact that Nashville is going to be the number one seed.
And the Golden Knights are winning the Pacific Division.
Yeah. Number two. Yeah, exactly. So we've got Nashville, Colorado, Winnipeg, Minnesota, Vegas, and Dallas. San Jose, Los Angeles. But any number of these teams could figure out a way to get into those wild card spots. That's Anaheim, LA, San Jose, Calgary, Minnesota, Colorado, Dallas, and even St. Louis.
The West is, it's the East, it's fun to talk about those matchups, and some of them are up in the air, but like we said, the Boston Toronto one's kind of settled. It's almost pointless to even go over which ones of these, because, like, by the time you're listening to this podcast, it's going to be 4 completely different matchups.
Right.
Because every night a team wins, another team loses, they drop 3 spots in the standings because it's all so close, especially in that Pacific Division right behind the Golden Knights.
Now, if I'm being greedy, I want to see Los Angeles Anaheim. Just because they would beat the hell out of each other, and it would be an easier road for the Golden Knights to get through the Pacific if Anaheim and LA are in the playoffs and playing each other.
You don't think Anaheim and San Jose would do the same thing to each other?
See, I do. I think, I don't know, man. any one of those, any two of those three teams would be pretty much the same thing. Yeah. I just want to see LA beat the crap out of Anaheim and then be so slow and tired that Vegas skates circles around them. And it's just an easy path. Because
assuming Vegas gets out of the first round, I think the first round matchup, and we've said this before, is more difficult than the second round matchup, especially if you get Dallas, who has proven that they can execute a formula to beat the Golden Knights.
I agree with you. I think the Dallas matchup scares me. I think the Minnesota matchup scares me.
I agree.
And I know that a lot of people will say, Minnesota, they can never get it done. Bruce Boudreau can't win a game seven. He's horrible in the playoffs. I don't care. That team has shown an ability to beat the Golden Knights. They have.
I will say I would favor the Golden Knights in a seven-game series with anyone in the Western Conference except for Nashville. I think Nashville, if they have home ice, I think they're a slight favorite over the Golden Knights. They're playing so well right now. They have Stanley Cup experience. The Golden Knights have no playoff experience to speak of as a team together.
How great would that series be?
Yeah, that's the Western Conference Finals that every hockey fan is dreaming of.
Sure.
And every writer that covers the teams are dreaming of because they want to be in that atmosphere. But even though I will favor the Golden Knights in a matchup with the Stars or the Wild, it's not going to be easy. Those teams are going to muck it up. They're going to be physical. And the Golden Knights are going to have to find a way to make them play their style.
So if you're looking at Anaheim, LA, San Jose, Calgary, Minnesota, Colorado, Dallas, St. Louis, those teams right there, what do you think is the easiest first-round matchup for the Golden Knights?
Colorado.
Colorado?
Yep. And then after them, probably Calgary.
See, I would go Calgary over Colorado. And I don't have any reason for that outside of Calgary just... They should be so much better than they are right now. And Colorado is that team that has overachieved all year. And you get into that dangerous territory when you've got a bunch of guys that are rallying around each other. Where have we heard this story before?
Yeah.
That are rallying around a player that has elevated his game in Nathan MacKinnon. That are rallying around a coach who didn't get a fair shake last year. Rallying around a locker room that said, hey, we're not the problem, Matt Duchene is, and that's been very apparent. I think you get into dangerous territory with a team like that that gets in and doesn't really have anything to lose. Whereas in Calgary, if you get into the playoffs, I think there's a lot of heat on Glenn Gulletson and his staff because they shouldn't have to fight so hard to get in. They should be way better than the teams that are in their division right now.
I agree. I just think Calgary, their lineup is so much deeper and so much more talented than Colorado is. I think Colorado is so top-heavy.
Right.
And they've got a lot of young talent that's developing, but Golden Knights roll four lines against Colorado. I mean, the Avs' first line with MacKinnon can try to match the Golden Knights' first line. I think the Golden Knights, I mean, they're the best line in hockey. So, but after that, the second, third, and fourth lines for the Golden Knights should absolutely work Colorado.
Even with Ryan Reeves in the lineup?
Yes. Ryan Reeves has been playing better. I tweeted it out last night. Is Ryan Reeves a changed man? Because he was barreling into the corner.
Yeah.
I didn't see which player it was on the Flyers, but he had...
I think it was Gudas. I think he could have lined up Gudas.
Perfect opportunity to absolutely put him into the fifth row through the glass. Uh-huh. And instead, he stopped, used his stick to fight for the puck, got it out of the corner. Now, they didn't end up doing anything with it. But I feel like maybe a few practices, a few games with the Golden Knights, I feel like maybe David Perron getting in his ear, he might have changed the way he plays. Now,
I'm sorry. Are you suggesting that Ryan Reeves might actually know how to play hockey?
If he wants to. But having said that, him playing this way and him then playing the Golden Knights way, he's not as good at it as William Carrier. When Carrier comes back, out goes Reeves, in my opinion.
I agree with that statement. I'm just saying maybe everybody rushed to judgment on Ryan Reeves, except for maybe me. That's all I'm saying.
I don't think I rushed to judgment at all. I think the way he was playing in those games was absolutely destroying the Golden Knights from the inside out. That's how bad it was. He was the problem. He changed the way he's played. But the thing is, he's changed. I will admit he has surprised me by changing the way he plays, but him playing that style, he's just not as good at it as other players on the Golden Knights.
I agree. My argument was that he could play that style. And he has.
No, your argument was not that.
No, it was.
Your argument was that he can play the way he was playing, which is hurting people.
My argument is he can play within the team, but he could also do what he does well. Like with Ryan Reeves, did he line up Radko Gudas and put him into the fifth row? No. Did he make a good play with his stick? Yeah, that's great. But there are times in a playoff series, more specifically, where the play with your stick is not the right play. It's the check. It's that moment where you get into the defense's head that there's someone that can come back, get to you, that's fast enough to get to you, lay the body on you, and then you have that in the back of your head the rest of the night, and it starts forcing you into stupid plays. That's what Ryan Reeves brings. If he can,
hasn't brought that yet,
but he can.
I haven't seen it.
He can bring it when he's not trying to play the Golden Knights game. Like, you've got to strike a balance with this guy.
They already have their enforcer. It's Jonathan Marchessault.
Yeah, that guy.
He's laying hits on everybody.
Can't help himself. But he's been doing that all year.
He's very
feisty.
You have to look over your shoulder when Marchessault is on the ice.
Yeah, well.
Can't even say it without laughing.
No, he's deceptively physical.
No, he is.
Is what I'd say. But, you know, again, Ryan Reeves probably draws out of the lineup when William Carrier is healthy. I have no problem with that. I'm good with it. I'm fine with that. But he can play hockey.
But he wasn't playing hockey.
But he can.
But that's two different things.
But he is now.
He has been playing better. I still think it's a detriment to the team when he's out there. I think
they're not as dynamic, for sure. I think, and again, I've said probably three podcasts in a row now, they need their fourth linebacker. They need Belmar. They need Carrier, and they need Nosek. And that needs to be what the fourth line is, and that's it. Because when those three guys are healthy and on the ice in that capacity, there isn't a fourth line in the NHL that's better.
I agree, but that creates the issue of Carpe Deuces. Ryan Carpenter scored the game-winning goal. Where does he play?
Where does he play? There's no argument.
Where does he play?
Third line center.
You take Eakin out?
Yes!
After his two-goal performance against Detroit?
Talk to me again in a week. When there's been six games this and then, and Eakin has 0 points.
I completely agree, and I am with you that I would play Carpenter over Eakin.
Right.
But the person that makes that decision would not. Gerard Gallant will not play Carpenter over Eakin. He won't do it.
I get it. I understand it.
So my point now being is he's going to play Eakin at that third line center. Eakin is the third line center for the Golden Knights. I guarantee it, unless he gets hurt. Now, knowing that that's where Turk's going to play him, Tuck and Tatar, when everybody's healthy, are obviously the wingers on that line.
Mm-hmm.
Where does Carpenter go? He just scored the game-winning goal in the final minutes last night. He belongs in the lineup. He's played amazing.
I agree.
Where does he go?
I don't know. Carrier has a bad game. You put Carpenter in.
Yeah.
It keeps everything competitive on the fourth line. Although I'd like to see Carpenter on that third line somehow, some way in Cody Eakin's spot. I'm not going to make any bones about it. But, like, and I understand what Cody Eakin brings to the table. I really do. Like, penalty kill. I understand his minutes. I understand he's very defensive. He's responsible defensively. He's able to make up for a lot of the rookie mistakes that Alex Tuck does make out on the ice. I understand that Cody Eakin is that stopgap that prevents you from getting angry at Alex Tuck.
Yeah.
I totally get it. But at some point, the production needs to be more consistent from him.
I agree. And I also think, I will say, this scenario that I'm drawing up for where these guys are going to go and these problems they're going to have is not a likely scenario that every player is all going to be healthy at once. When they do get Neil back, and they do get Riley Smith back, and they do get Carrier back, odds are someone else will be hurt by then. I mean, this is just the NHL.
Yeah.
So this scenario where they're all healthy and, oh my God, where are we going to play these guys? Is probably not going to happen. These guys are probably going to have spots to play because they're just never going to be healthy because no team is. Everyone's got guys that are banged up. It's constant. I mean, the Golden Knights have been relatively healthy.
Sure.
Other than at the goalie position is the only one. The only place you could argue that the Golden Knights have had bad luck injury-wise. Right. They've been relatively healthy compared to most teams this year. So they're going to be banged up. So I'm kind of creating a problem that likely won't exist.
Yeah, I don't know. It'll be interesting. It'll be a fun thing to keep an eye on. But, yeah, I mean, I'm with you. I don't want Carpi Deuces to lose his spot because he's done a lot in that time. He's made a lot of really good plays. He's come up with big goals. He's kind of got that flair for the dramatic. But do you put him on the fourth line? Do you play him in that role? Can you? He's could be a third line player.
I think he, Nosek, and Carrier could be a three-man rotation around Belmar.
Yeah, I don't know. I like Nosek, Belmar, and Carrier together.
So do I. Just, I think every Golden Knights
there's
fan
does. So much chemistry with those three guys. But then again, who knows? I mean, they haven't played a game together in 25, 30 games, something
Carrier
like that.
He's been out a long
time. All right, so we're going to have to cut it now because what Ari was yelled at was using the studio. How dare you use the studio for the podcast, buddy? So we're going to get out of here. We don't have anybody to thank or say anything to, but go follow us on Twitter. I'm at Ryan Hockey Guy. Where are you, Jesse?
I am at JesseGranger_ and LasVegasSun.com.
Working on any in-depth pieces, or are you just really going game by game with this team?
Something that's cool, before tomorrow night's game, before Wednesday's game, depending on when you listen to this, so Wednesday, I am going to have a chat with the Golden Knights statistician.
Oh, wow.
Which should be fun. So there will be a story, whatever kind of stuff I come up with out of that, whatever it is, it will be interesting for sure because it's something completely different from who we've been able to talk to this year. So that should be fun.
Are they keeping stats on hashtag Suck It Granger?
If they are, that's out of the freaking park.
It better be. All right, like us on iTunes, give us 5 stars, write a review, tell us we're awesome. We like to hear it. And go check out Jesse Granger's new profile pic on Twitter. It's fantastic. He gives Marc-Andre Fleury a run for his money with the production value of the picture. You really do look like John Wick about to kill a bunch of people.
I'm kind of the Michael Jordan of roller hockey, is what I said, right?
Yeah.
I win a
shippy every week.
Or maybe I'm not the Michael Jordan. Maybe I'm just like the James Jones following LeBron around winning championships. Maybe I'm not the reason for these championships, but I am winning championships nonetheless.
Jesse, if there's anything anyone's taught me about hockey, it's that you win from the crease out, buddy. So it's all you all the time.
Completely agree.
All right. We'll catch you next week, guys.